we see what was up your sleeve? Did you use it, or?
I don't know. What's up yours?
Jason Leisure is kicking Matt Eberflus's ass.
I don't know if I really look at it that way, Jay.
Jason Leisure.
I'm here in the studio at The Score. This is a very, very special honor for you.
You are right about miserable Jason Leisure. He joins us now.
I feel like Stu Gatz doesn't really like this segment.
I think you're great. I think you're miserable.
It might be the one thing that you and I have in common is that we both don't like this segment.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
You want to believe that they're telling you the truth and what they're saying is straightforward, but that, of course, isn't how it works here.
Jason Leisure.
The logic of that call with the game on the line to give it to an offensive lineman, that you're on board with that.
It's a one-yard play. It's a one-yard play, and we felt that a big guy like that taking a dive could do that.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Yeah, there are a lot of questions to discuss when it comes to the Bears and what happened to them in D.C. on Sunday.
I'm sitting at home, and I'm listening to Eberflus post-game, and I hear our guy Jason Leisure, who's here in the studio with us, hear him saying it like, because it was the second question on the Doug Kramer play, and his question was really a statement like the logic. You're on board with the logic. I'm just double checking.
Yep,
I felt you on that.
I want that on record, man. As well, you should want that on record.
I want you to tell me and everyone else that you think that's a good idea. Because I mean, you did tell us kind of by your inaction at the time, but I want you to say that
he told you then, and he told you again the next morning that he thought it was like, look, we got some plays, and that's when we like the wedge blocking.
Yeah, I bet you that's not in the call sheet ever again. I bet it's not. Just a guess.
See, it's a crime, isn't
say
it?
Say what you want, but I'm not going to run it again.
Here's why I think it's a crime, and I didn't realize we're going to start here, but here we are. The whole idea of God's play, and you know this, Jason, is to show a team that you are a badass, that you are full of like masculinity, full of power, that you will just run it over them when they know you're going to run it.
Yep.
And this is why Olin loves it. This is why we loved it, why we embraced it, because you're showing them you can't stop us. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to do. And it helps an offensive line believe in itself, helps a team believe in itself, all of that. Mm-hmm. And that's why we all loved it when they started doing it, when they couldn't run the ball over the first three games.
But you can do it without giving Doug the ball.
That's the point, is that Shane Waldron like copped to doing God's play and to running it because the team wanted it and they needed it. And then he subverts the entire ethos of it, the entire thought process of it, by being overly freaking cute with it in that moment.
I couldn't be more annoyed by it. And it's not Shane Waldron, if you're listening. This is not all of Chicago playing the result. Bad idea, even if it worked. Terrible idea.
Yes.
With the game on the line. Great idea if you're up 35 or something, you want to do something like that. That's cool.
I actually looked at it. William the Refrigerator Perry's six carries in 1985, they all came with a lead.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. One of them was in a 44-0 win in Dallas. One was a touchdown to make it 20-0 over Atlanta. In the Super Bowl, it was to make it 44-3 over the Pats. Not one when the team was trailing, because you don't do this.
Trailing in the fourth quarter. And maybe your last chance in the red zone.
On the road!
On the road.
It was
insane.
Maddening. And it's, okay, they lost on a crazy play. And you might do everything right, and that you still lose on that kind of play. There are just things you cannot control. But man, did they miss 1,000 opportunities to help their odds, including on that play. I mean, 7 more points. If you're up 10, when Jaden Daniels is running around back there, then what's that Hail Mary going to do for them? It's baffling to me, especially on this roster. Ryan Poles must have been sitting up in his seat thinking like, oh no, I've given you so many better ideas than this. Look at all the guys. This, you remember when Cole Kmet was playing fullback at some point? Because like, who else is going to do it? But if you got a goal line carry, mm-hmm. you got Roschon Johnson, you got DeAndre Swift, you've got the option.
You have DeAndre Swift having a great day.
You get the option to throw. Throwing, every possible throwing idea, I would say, is better than this, especially with a mobile quarterback. I mean, man, do I love having Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Kyler Murray, Justin Fields on a fourth and short or third and short, because mm-hmm. it opens up every possibility. There's been so much money spent and so much accomplished, proven talent put together here, that there were so many better options in that situation.
There's a little bit of breaking news on the Bears on the injury front, and just get this from the Bears. Bill Murray has been placed on injured reserve.
Oof.
They have signed Austin Pleasant to the practice squad, and long snapper Jake McQuaid has been released.
Okay, so Scott Daly, healthy enough to be your long snapper.
It would seem.
So Bill Murray, which Bill Murray is this? This is what about Bob Bill Murray?
No, he was released a long time ago.
Oh, okay. So this is lost in translation, Bill Murray. But either way.
Nate Davis survives.
Wasn't what about Bob Bill Murray committed? He wasn't released. He was committed, I think.
That's a good point.
I watched that movie when I was a kid. My mom liked that movie, and we watched that movie, and it's like this silly movie. And then I watched it again as an adult, and I'm like, oh, this movie's crazy.
Yeah. It's a wacky one.
I was like, let me turn this on. I don't know if you do this with your son, Matt, but like, let me turn on some movie that I watched when I was a kid, like The Mighty Ducks or What About Bob?
Sure.
Or Rookie of the Year.
You did it recently.
Or whatever.
But let me
put it on and make sure, because I'm careful about what I let my kids watch. Let me give it a run through first and see how, because things were different. Standards were different.
Let me recommend against Step Brothers for your 12-year-old son. It's not a...
Even like the TNT version?
No, I could do that one.
Even if there's a fire.
Yeah.
I love that movie so much.
I love it too, but oh boy.
I realized that's in my comedy bag. Anytime you have an adult acting very childishly, if you have a 40 or 50-year-old man acting like he's 12, that's always funny to me. That always works for me.
Like Tyreek Stevenson.
Well, before we get to Tyreek Stevenson, and you wrote about it in the Sun-Times today.
I love that you mentioned that at the end of the last segment, because this is one of the funny things to me is like, I get texts all the time from people asking me, what do I think about the Bears or what do I think about it? Like, I write it out, hundreds of words.
Welcome to our world.
I put it in a thing that's there for everybody. What do you mean, what do I think about how the game ended? That's what I did Sunday. That was my whole thing. I come on here, and once a week I'm on with The Score with Lawrence and Matt, and I talk about it. Like, if you want me to text you that?
When people text me or that, I want to send them a link. Is that rude to send a friend a listen
link
live?
Yes, it is rude.
Yeah, I don't do
it's rude. It's better to sit here and talk behind their backs on the air like I am now.
I agree.
Go ahead.
Be passive aggressive about it. Please. But before we talk about Sunday more in depth, I'd love to know what your reporter nose tells you when you hear that tomorrow's practice is now closed, is now a walkthrough. What do you think of that?
I'm not super on alert about that. They actually have done that before. And you're getting toward the midway part of the season. You don't need to have the guys practice every single day. I don't think that is in response to something. I wouldn't be surprised if that was already planned.
Maybe, but the timing of it does seem suspicious to me. Like, I look at that and I say, a lot of guys have talked over the last 48 hours. A lot of guys have said some truths that maybe the Bears didn't want to get out. Maybe they want to get all of their ducks in a row by having a little close, all-team thing, get together, and then hopefully have a great walkthrough for practice.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but it's not like we get to watch practice anyway. I mean, we watch stretching and individual drills. It's the same every day. It probably would be the same tomorrow anyway. I mean, and I don't think that means – now, it'd be more interesting if – that means that we don't have open locker room tomorrow, but I don't think that's the case. I'm pretty sure we do as of now.
Yeah, it's a big day tomorrow. You know, Matt Eberflus tomorrow has a chance to possibly change his tune on the accountability of the last two plays. And he's got a chance to talk about Tyreek Stevenson and what he might do. We have our expectations. We have our hopes. What do you think? Do you think Matt Eberflus stays locked in to where he's been in the last two times he's spoken to the media?
That's a test of the Matt Eberflus PR makeover. I mean, we'll see. This has not gone well previously with Claypool or the Denver loss or whatever else. It's, you know, it's always been there. What you want in these situations is the head coach to get up there and convey that they see what you see. What I don't want to hear tomorrow and what nobody wants to hear tomorrow is this same old, it's not as bad as it looks, guys. Trust us. It's not, for 40 years I've been hearing that. Like, and that's not all 40 years Matt Eberflus's fault, only the last three. But don't come out here and tell people it wasn't as bad as they thought it was. Nobody wants to hear that. So, like, acknowledge the problems and then convey the authority that you are going to take care of those problems. And those two elements have frequently been missing from these, if you want to call them, Matt Eberflus apology press conferences or whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying. I think that's well said, Jason. I'm trying to remember, and not to put you on the spot, but you just mentioned a couple specifics. Do you remember him coming out and suddenly being accountable for something that he was not in previous years? I'm thinking about the play where David Njoku from Cleveland was covered by a D lineman. You had the probe, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
Justin Jones, I think.
Yeah, I think it was Justin Jones. You're exactly right. So there's that. There's the Denver loss. There's all these different games. Has he pointed a thumb? Has he stood up there and pointed a thumb? Because the players and I think the fans are desperate to think of him as a guy who can do that.
Yeah, but if you look at him right now and we're halfway through year three, tell me what Matt Eberflus has proven conclusively to you that he's good at. He's a good defensive play caller. He absolutely is. I would not short him on that. Very good defense. Not perfect. Nobody is. But very good defensive play caller. All right, there's one. Like, what's number two?
I think he's good at maintaining relationships with players. But I don't know if that necessarily translates to him being able to coach the players, if that makes any sense.
It does, because I think he's the good cop. And, you know, he appears to be the good cop. He appears to be the player's coach. And we don't, and so that would fit what you're saying, Lawrence. Like, he does get along with the players, but like, whatever choices he's made on Tyreek Stevenson, for him to feel empowered to still be this guy and to let it get to that point, that is a failure of leadership to allow this guy in the middle of year two to think that that's okay.
Yeah, I'm more concerned with the offense right now and Matt Eberflus's apparent lack of interjecting in that and taking control of that. And he needs to. He needs to understand, as he has needed to understand from day one, it does not matter that you've spent your whole career coaching defense. Now you're in the top job. You will get fired if this defense is good, but the offense keeps costing you games. You will get fired as a defensive coach for bad offense. That's what being a head coach is.
Yeah, it's the truth. What do you expect will happen with Tyreek Stevenson?
That he'll play. I think it hurts that they're down Kyler Gordon. Now, they're loaded at corner. If everybody's healthy and you're looking, I have never heard a football coach, every football coach I've ever talked to has said, we can't get enough corners. We don't have enough corners. They actually might. They're pretty stacked at corner. They've got six that can play. But if you look across their starting corners, Lawrence, including Kyler Gordon, I mean, who's the weak link? Who's the guy that's always being thrown at anyway? It's Tyreek Stevenson, and he's playing fine. But if you're looking at some of their guys in the secondary that were all kind of brought in around the same time, Kyler Gordon will get a second contract. I think Jaquan Brisker gets a second contract. Not sure about Tyreek Stevenson just on the field, let alone then some of these other things. I mean, he had a horrible lack of composure earlier in that game.
Yes, he did.
That was a critical penalty that took, if I remember right, took Washington from midfield into scoring range at the 35, 36, something like that. Just couldn't leave well enough alone. Just not focused.
It wasn't even the guy that he was mad
and
at.
Under control.
Like, that's the part where you go, ooh. Like, if you're woofing at a specialist and an offensive lineman comes over, like, you don't have to play Billy Badass in that moment. Yeah,
this is
you
like,
can walk away.
This is like Javon Wims, Anthony Miller type stuff. And the Bears have, for better or worse, prided themselves on not bringing in guys like that. Not bringing in guys that are kind of loose cannon, wild cards. We don't know if they're going to be able to control themselves on the field. And while Tyreek Stevenson would be pretty vulnerable, I think, just on his play, because they've got Terrell Smith and they've got Jalen Jones at his position. Josh Blackwell typically plays the nickel. I still don't think they're going to put themselves down a quality corner going
when they're
into this
already
game.
Missing
yeah.
Kyler, or maybe missing Kyler.
Maybe Moore. You sit him the first drive.
See, that's I think.
And I know that feels like.
No, at least it would feel
like milk, but
it would feel like something. They have to do something. I would sit him the whole game. I don't think they're going to do that. You could sit him a half. You could sit him a quarter. You could sit him the first drive. You could sit him the first play. And maybe you bring in your leadership council to give them input on that kind of thing. And you say, look, I got to sit him. Guys, I have to sit him. Let's talk about it. I don't want to hurt you too much, but you said it. Terrell Smith and Jalen Jones can play. They're
going to be starters somewhere someday, Matt.
They just survived without Tyreek Stevenson in England and controlled Trevor Lawrence and the Jags okay. So it's like, I think Tyreek needs consequences. He needs something public. Well, and here, so I hope they get it.
Here's why it's critical to me is if you take this same situation, I'm by the way, just for the record, I'm more upset that Matt Eberflus and his staff didn't call timeout, didn't notice it and call timeout. And as I heard you play on the Jalen Johnson clip, why not call timeout before that play anyway?
Yes.
What do you think, like, that you're going to give the Commanders time to figure out how to run a Hail Mary? Call timeout. Make sure everyone's on their job. Maybe put in different people. Maybe put in Keenan Allen or something and see what happens.
He said to you guys Monday, that's not even something that he's considered.
Take the timeout. But if you had seen on that same play, if you had seen Kyler Gordon or Jalen Johnson or even Kevin Byard do the same thing that Tyreek Stevenson did, you'd be like, well, that's really out of character. That's really, I'm not here to beat up on Tyreek Stevenson. But if one of those guys did that, you'd say, well, they kind of lost focus. I get it. They assumed the game was over. That's really a big lapse, but man, that's a one-off. Tyreek Stevenson, this is kind of part of his makeup, is being a little too juiced up and not focused enough. And that's what makes sending a real message, like what you're talking about, Matt, it really important this week.
The timeout thing bothers me too. And now we're kind of getting into the weeds on whether or not defensive players should ever be able to call timeout. They had three of them.
They ended the game with three of them.
They ended the game with
three
timeouts.
They could have used one on the Kramer play.
And I'm with you on some fury with you didn't notice it. Because what else were you looking at? Like, if you're Matt Eberflus, what else were you looking at that you didn't see one of your players, even though he's 60 yards away, you didn't see one of your players having his back to the line of scrimmage before the play starts?
Uh-huh.
Like, that to me is...
It's insane.
Someone has to see that. If that's Eberflus, who it should be, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's Eric Washington going, guys, we got to burn a timeout.
Let's get a timeout.
I don't know what Tyreek's doing, but he's not doing what we coached him to do right now. Let's get a timeout here.
I actually think this line of questioning is not in the weeds. It is important. And I mean, I know there's a lot to get to tomorrow with the Flus, but the idea that a defensive player is allowed technically to call a timeout, but has not been empowered to do so, is connected to the fact that your head coach is not thinking like that. For whatever reason, he's just not. Like, he sees the corners not playing up on that second to last play after Caleb points it out. And you can see on film, Matt Eberflus is using the left arm and calling the corners to come up. If you notice that, call a timeout right then and have them come up.
And it's bizarro world, because usually I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness, why are they taking a timeout 2 minutes into the half or something? Aren't they going to need that later?
Yeah.
Instead, they use none in this situation. And again, we're talking about a play that it literally bounced Washington's way. And you could do everything perfectly on that play and still lose the same way. But it was critical. As you piece together the pieces of this investigation, which is what this always is with them, whether it's Eddie Pinheiro's missed field goal against the Chargers how many years ago or whatever, or what I heard a little bit about some of it, but not all of it, but I heard that part, or whatever. Tyreek Stevenson not doing the right thing, running in there like Leroy Jenkins trying to knock the ball down,
yes,
completely messed up everything.
Jalen Johnson said if Tyreek was locked in, there's 0% chance that play gets completed.
That's not true.
That's Jalen's thought.
But it would help.
Well, because what he's
saying, Kevin Byard's telling you, I didn't get a clean jump at the ball,
yes,
and it's my job. Well, why didn't he get a clean jump at the ball? Because 85, the guy Tyreek's responsible for,
shoves him in the back.
And then after the tip, Tyreek is supposed to be in position precisely to stop what ended up happening.
Yes.
And maybe he still wouldn't. Maybe the ball bounces over his head. Maybe it doesn't work out. It's a very unpredictable and random play. But man, did you do some things to increase the odds of it happening for Washington.
Why don't we talk a little offense in the next segment? Because I know that Spiegs really still is very angry at Shane Waldron for a lot of stuff. And we will pick the brain of Jason Leisure about all of that stuff, everything Bears, with our guy Jason Leisure from the Sun-Times. We take a quick timeout, and then we're back. Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.